This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Mark, Roshan Hannison and Noel Lim. Let's check up on how global markets ended the trading day yesterday.
Not great. So the US markets, Dow was down 0.8%, S&P 500 down 0.5%, NASDAQ was down 0.2%.
And similarly, quite a red day over in Asia as well. The Nikkei 225 down 0.5%, Hong Kong's Hang Seng down 0.7%. Both the Shanghai Composite and Singapore STI broke past 1%, both down 1.1%. And here, the FBMKL actually, KLCI was one of the, one of the relative winners. It was only down 0.2% yesterday compared to the rest of the region.
So for more insight into global markets, this morning we're speaking with Vishnu Varathan, Head of Economics and Strategy at Mizuho Bank. Vishnu, thanks so much for joining us today. So at last night's FOMC meeting, the Fed brought forward the rate hike with two rate increases by 2023. Were you surprised by this announcement?
Yes and no. I mean, we did think that there was certainly going to be some revisions to the dot plot. So that was one of the things we were warning about. But we didn't expect two hikes to be priced in so quickly. But that said, what I think comes across even more strongly is Fed Jerome Powell in his press conference did warn that this is a seasoned dot plot. He said, take it with a pinch of salt. So there's a lot of seasoning in there, and that's what I think he wants to get across.
And what do you read from his intentions with those statements about, throwing cold water on any revisions to their dot plot chart?
I think he makes a very good point, because we often don't realize this, but the dot plot is a very individual forecast. So each FOMC member gives a forecast, whereas the decision is always one based on consensus. And so it doesn't fully reveal the compromises and the bargaining power and the insurance that usually goes into actual policy making. So his point is twofold. One is he also said we need to watch for whether there's sustained recovery or not, whether we get to substantial progress. And he said we are still some way off. So that part there tells us that their projections are one thing, but confidence around them are quite another. So this is one thing that he's alluded to. And we also bear in mind that I think what markets were really getting a little nervous about is also the commitment that taper will come through well before the rate hikes. So if you get two hikes in 2023, the real question is, when does taper kick in?
Yeah, Vishnu, a lot of, nerviness, I'm not sure if that's a word, but yes, we will go with that. Nervousness ebbing here and there. Jerome Powell did stress, though, that he and his colleagues were basically paying attention to the risk that inflation could rise faster and last longer than expected. That said, the Fed forecast that inflation would move up to 3% on an annual rate this year, but would then drop sharply in 2022. Is this roughly in line with your own views as well? Do you see this kind of pattern emerging with inflation this year and next year onwards?
By and large, I do, but I've got less certainty. Not that any economist forecast is going to be certain, but I've got far less confidence around how quickly it'll drop off. And here's why. Typically, what we tend to think is that transitory pressures pass quite quickly, and we usually have this 6 to 12 month time frame in mind, depending on how we want to measure it. But this time around, because there's going to be two things at work, one is the interaction between the cost push pressures could complicate how inflation plays out, and the other thing is that some of the supply constraints we've seen, they've got variable times for the supply response to come through to adjust. So because of that, the stickiness of this so-called transitory inflation may be slightly further out. Which is why we project that inflation could be bumpy and slightly sticky for at least 12 to 18 months out.
So when you're looking at this, Vishnu, what are the key components of inflation that you're most, I guess, not concerned about, but you're watching most keenly? Oil is one of those key barometers there, but generally speaking?
Thank you, Roshan. You started very well on oil. I mean, that's a long memory inflation. The other one the other point that we're looking for is how these things get factored into two aspects of things. One is we want to see how it gets factored into inflation expectations. So even if you just have a transitory, so-called transitory cost push, insofar that these get priced into capital goods that people pay over a long time, that can affect inflation expectations. And of course, the other aspect of it is what, inflation is a cat that you can skin many ways. And so for people buying homes, if house prices rise very fast, and even if food prices fell back, that burden is not going away. So in a very real sense, asset inflation can also impact incomes, balance sheet, and everything, you name it.
Now, Vishnu, with geopolitical and trade tensions on the rise between the two countries, how are markets pricing in US-China risks?
Inadequately. But to be fair, I mean, the visibility of the pricing is also not clear, because I think markets are in the mood where the lower for longer backdrop is forcing them to take risks, which is why a lot of the uncertainty in indices have come down. Even VIX is exceptionally low in terms of the stock market gauge of risk. Whereas what we think is that once, you know, we see a little bit more light at the end of the tunnel with COVID, then US-China tensions once again rise. And we must bear in mind, this is a strategic structural issue. It's not going away. If anything, NATO's remarks and you know, consolidating allies against China just means that the kind of uncertainty over supply chain linkages and relationships is only going to deepen. It's not going to get alleviated.
Well, given this, and meanwhile, the weak dollar is exacerbating the strength of the yuan, what might be PBOC's short-term strategy for managing that currency pair?
I think instead of, you know, a lot of flamboyance, they're going to take a different approach, which is, you know, a 1,000 paper cuts approach. So they're doing all these little measures to allow capital outflows to lean against excessive strength in the renminbi. And I think the message is twofold. One is they're telling markets, don't get smart and speculative about this. This is not a one-way trade. The other point they're trying to make also is that they are not after a mercantilist weakness in renminbi. What they want is a stable renminbi. And I think the Fed just, through the PBOC and Olive Branch, not inadvertently, although, because we've seen the dollar stronger overnight. So if taper risks continue to grow, I think PBOC has got less of a problem in terms of renminbi strength and more problem with downside volatility on its hands, which may be something it needs to look at over a long, the next 6 to 12, 18 months.
All right, Vishnu, let's wrap up with a look at Malaysia then. On Tuesday, Malaysia unveiled its pandemic exit plan. Will the timing of the different phases and also the FOMC's recent statements influence or have any bearing on BNM's policy decisions when they meet, next month?
I think it almost certainly must, but the ability to isolate it will be very difficult. And here's why, because what gets priced into the BNM's model would be a conservative approach of when the exit is. But even the BNM doesn't have perfect clarity on this because of the externalities involved, as well as the variableness around not just timing, but the virus itself. So for that reason, the BNM will probably need to play by ear. But like you rightly pointed out, the tension between accommodation between the virus and the FOMC starting to nudge the other way, that means that policy becomes a lot more complicated and more of a tightrope walk than walk down the park.
Vishnu, thanks so much for joining us this morning. That was Vishnu Varathan, Head of Economics and Strategy at Mizuho Bank, giving us some insight into global markets. And of course, we kicked it off with the Fed because everyone was watching for the result of the FOMC meeting. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.